You're listening to Play It Again, Swig. I'm Jocelyn Swigger, and I'm trying to learn all the Chopin etudes. I'm also trying to balance hanging out with my toddler, teaching full-time, and life's other distractions. This is my audio diary of that process. Well, it's Saturday, October 25th, and I want to give you a report on a couple of performances in the last couple of weeks. So I went to my alma mater, which I think I will not name here, and played a concert there. I did a lecture recital where I basically have an hour PowerPoint where I talk about my process. As you know, I like to talk about my process, learning the etudes, and then I played Opus 10, the first big set of 12. And there were a couple of factors that made this performance a very, very strange experience for me. So the one was that I, of course, got sick as soon as the fall break hit. So I ended up taking DayQuil, which probably was not a good choice. And I think I'm sure that I won't do that again before playing a concert, but I also felt like I couldn't blow my nose every 30 seconds while doing this presentation and playing these pieces. So I was on cold medication, so I felt a little buzzy, but I felt mostly pretty clear-headed. So then that was factor one, cold medication. Factor two was that I gave this basically hour-long PowerPoint presentation before I played Opus 10. And when I got towards the end of the PowerPoint presentation, I had that feeling that you have after you... after you've done something, like when you're sort of heading to the finish line, you're just about done, feeling like, wow, this has gone really well. This has been a really good experience. They've really enjoyed it. This was terrific. And now I am done. Like, I really felt done at the end of the talk. So that's not how I want to feel before I start Opus 10, number one. I think that I actually need to do, if I'm going to do that presentation more, which I am, I need to separate that out from the playing, either have it be like the presentation in the afternoon and the playing in the evening or a different day or something, because I don't think that I can handle doing it at the same time. But I might have been able to handle both of those things fine, except for factor number three, which is that I was in the middle of Opus 10 number four, you know, this one. So lots of notes and not much time to sort of stop and gather my wits. So I'm playing and I'm feeling okay, although tired, like sort of mentally tired. And I honestly don't know if the first flicker was just my attention waning or if it was actually visual. But I saw a flicker in the corner of my eye, and then I had a memory glitch, and then I had to put my energy on fixing that. And that's a piece I'm not sure about. Maybe I had the memory glitch and then I saw the flicker. I'm not sure. But what I do know is that as I'm dealing with recovering from my little memory spot there, a cockroach crawled on the stage, I think maybe from the outlet. There was a power outlet because I had, you know, microphones and I didn't have an outlet for the microphone, but there was a power outlet with video cameras and that sort of thing. So a cockroach crawled on the stage towards the front from my right hand side on the floor directly under my feet and then off stage towards the back of the stage. So as I'm playing these millions of 16th notes, first of all, I'm totally afraid of cockroaches, which I realize is not reasonable, but you know, that's what an irrational fear is. It's an irrational fear. So I felt like, ah, cockroach. Like, that was a really big thing I was thinking. And then I also was thinking, can I stomp on it? Like, do I have the wherewithal that I can actually take my foot off the pedal and stomp on this thing and not worry about it? Which I decided I didn't. Meanwhile, this is all while I'm playing and playing and playing. And then the other thing I was thinking was, oh my God, I hope this cockroach doesn't crawl into my bag, which is on the floor right backstage behind the screen for the PowerPoint, which is of course exactly the direction that the cockroach has just gone. And then the other thing I was thinking is, you know, there's a video camera showing the keyboard and my hands. Did the audience see it? Does the audience know that I'm freaking out right now because of a cockroach? Meanwhile, I'm playing and playing and playing and having lots of little glitches and lots of little recoveries and just like lots and lots of survival mode. So I get to the end of the piece, I collect myself, and at this point I'm thinking, should I say something? Should I say that there is a cockroach sharing the stage with me? And I decided I shouldn't say that because I felt like that would be insulting to the venue. I mean, it was the truth, but I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to, like, anyway, so I'm thinking about all these things, mile a minute, I'm sure the cold medication is not helping, and I'm sure having just given this hour-long presentation is not helping. But basically, so for numbers 5 through 12, all I could think about was A, oh my God, there's a cockroach. B, did they see it? C, whoop, there's another mistake. Got to deal with that one. So I ended up just, I certainly ended up applying my memory slip spots, which I'm going to talk about in a couple minutes. And it really was such a mental scramble. It was one of the strangest cognitive experiences I've ever had in my life. And it went, I mean, I think people were with me. Like, I think that they were willing to see me struggle, especially after the presentation where I had kind of explained how difficult these pieces are. I got a standing ovation and some lovely comments. I think people really enjoyed it. But, God, I hope there's no videos of that performance out there in the world, because that was a crazy experience. Anyway, so that's the first experience I want to tell you about. And it spun my head a little bit because, you know, I've played Opus 10 a few times now, and this was the scariest experience that I've had with it, probably since like the first time I've played it. So it made me feel like, oh my gosh, do I have to put it back together? Is this like, do I have to really do all this repair work? And I have found out in the couple of weeks since then that when I am not on cold medication and have not just given an hour-long presentation and I'm not dealing with a big cockroach, Opus 10 is actually feeling like a friend and not like this totally scary stranger with all of these spots that I don't know. So I think that the thing to do is to just say that that happened. There was a cockroach. I am not going to expect that there are cockroaches a lot of the time. There is that. That is how that is. But I was a little bit nervous for the performance that I had yesterday because of having just, you know, the last performance experience that you have tends to kind of color the next one in my experience. I mean, of course, you know, so there's the saying, you know, you're only as good as your last performance, or you can think of it as you're only as good as your next performance. Anyway, I was feeling a little bit trepidatious about yesterday. So yesterday I played Opus 25, the second big set of 12, for which is the newer one, right, that I've just started performing in the last couple of months. So I played it for a retirement home in Frederick, Maryland. These lovely old ladies, I mean, just lovely. And I had played Opus 10 for them earlier in the summer, and so they were excited that I was coming back, which was really nice, that when I came, they chatted with me and wanted to know how I'd been. And it just really felt wonderful to play for them. Piano was not good. It was a young Chang upright. It was in tune, which was nice. But I really was kind of feeling worried about playing Opus 25 for them, partly because of my cockroach experience, and partly because the last time I played Opus 25 for a retirement home, and I don't remember if I told you about this or not, the entire front row got up and walked out during number 12. And even though I thought that I had really clearly explained what the order was and which one was going to be which, and I thought I'd really made the point that that was the last one, I realized later that it was right at 3 o'clock and maybe they had a TV show that they had to go watch. I don't know what happened, but the front row walked out during number 12. So I'd been feeling a little bit like, oh my God, is this too much to put an audience through to listen to all of Opus 25? And the conclusion that I came to yesterday is that it is not, because they absolutely loved it. And there were really nice sort of audible, sometimes people will sort of sigh in appreciation at the end of a piece or gasp in appreciation at the end of the piece. There were a lot of those, which was really nice, including after number 10 and number 11 and number 12, which are where things really kind of get strum und drangy. So, and they said they were really, really appreciative and lovely, even before I played them my little Tin Pan Alley dessert piece, you know. Oh, my goodness. So I have this kind of Tin Pan Alley, which is my side project that I've been playing as little encores for these concerts. Anyway, yesterday's concert went really well, and I am happy about that because in a week I'm playing the whole show. I'm going to play the three little Nouvelle etudes, and then I'm going to do some improvisation, and then I'm going to play Opus 10, and then there's going to be an intermission, which I think we will all need, and then I'm going to play Opus 25, and then I'm going to play a little bit of Tin Pan Alley. So that's going to be a really big concert, and that's going to be hopefully the main concert that I'm going to do. But this is going to be my first time doing all of it together. So let me talk to you about how I'm going to get ready for that in the next week. I mean, I've been getting ready for this for like 4 years, but let me talk about how I'm going to get ready for that in the next week. And this will be just my first time playing this concert, and I'm perfectly clear that it'll be my first time. Although, of course, not my first time playing these pieces. So first of all, I think that in the next week, I have to play through everything every day. I have to have the experience of playing through everything. I think also I need to probably not have my head in the score too much this week, because I still have lots and lots of discoveries to make in the score. There still are dynamic markings that I'm not quite doing as much as I want, and there are there's just always more to find out about it. But I think right now I need to pull my lens out and experience getting through the whole rather than looking at every single little tiny thing. So I'm going to mostly do that. I mostly will play through and then just practice a couple of spots, but mostly play through and probably not even looking at the score very much, with a couple of exceptions. So yesterday I started with the first three little Nouvelle etudes, which are the last ones actually. And the first two went very, very well. And the third one, I had a gigantic memory slip exactly where I thought I would. And so I just have to deal with number three. And I realize that I've been saying that for months and I've had such a block against it. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's the last one that I'm memorizing, or because I think it's more because it doesn't seem like it should be hard. So I feel like I'm really willing to, you know, roll up my sleeves and work really hard if it's hard, but this shouldn't be hard. I should be able to do it. But I have to just acknowledge that actually this seems to be hard for me. So what I need is memory slip spots. So what I need to do with this, and I kind of have started doing it, but I just don't have them as clear as they have to be. I have to pick spots in this piece that I can start from confidently and be able to go on from there. And as I'm playing each moment of the piece, I need to know exactly what my next spot is. And that's a piece that I haven't completely practiced in. So I want to show you some of my spots. The beginning, of course, is one. That's one. The next one is the beginning of the next phrase. Now, I just passed by the spot that tends to completely freak me out, which is to go instead of, oh my God. Yeah, no, I can't get to it. So that's the second time. But back to the first time, what I'm doing is I'm going to E flat back to one. But here, I think the way to think about this is that this is going away from home rather than towards home. So we go to B flat for a second. And here we have this five of F. And then it gets deceptive and brings us back to... But all of this I can think about as being going away and traveling. So all of that is changing keys and changing harmonies pretty quickly. This is going to be a spot that I can start. This might be another one, even though it's only two bars. But this definitely will be one. So what that means is that as I'm playing here, I need to know that this is a spot that's coming up. So if I'm playing and I get into trouble, which seems like I shouldn't, but let's say I need to know that I can go... This might even be a better one. Here, the next spot is here. This is a second time main tune. by the way, I know that my thumb notes are totally not staccato enough, and I am going to deal with that. But first, I'm in triage mode. I've got to get the memory solid first. Anyway, here's the spot where it changes. Here it is. So this would be a starting place. And I think the way to think about this is that this is really emphasizing A flat, which is the five, the dominant of D flat where we started. So if I can think of the whole second page really as being mostly about A flat, I think that that's going to actually work. And I think it will work better than remembering that the first one goes up in the left hand and the second one goes down. I think it's better to think that the first one goes away and the second one goes to A flat. Anyway. Here's that A flat. This is fine. This is a starting place if I need one here. This would probably be a good place. Other place that gives me trouble is the left hand being octaves here, and I think I just need to think of octaves as being more important than the single line, and it's towards the end, so if I can think about it as being climactic. So let me just point out that what I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to be analytical and get my theory map in place, but that the way that I'm going to make it stick, I think, is partly by having a clear idea of emotional arc. Okay, so at the beginning, I'm thinking about it really going away from where it starts, where it goes to E flat. So we start in D flat and we go to E flat and then we start traveling around. And then if I have the whole second page really be about A flat, and then it's even more about A flat because it's octaves, I think that's going to help me feel like the analytical piece and the expressive piece go together. And hopefully I'll be able to remember what the hell I'm doing. Okay. Anyway, there's one other spot, just sort of unrelated, but I discovered it recently and then it freaked me out. This is why I want to not make too many discoveries too close to this performance. And then, by the way, I have a couple of months off from performances when I will totally stick my head in the score and be all about little discoveries. But I think for right now I have to be big picture. Anyway, at the end, we have this climb. And then the left hand does this. So the left hand does this. And I tend to just kind of want to do that and be done instead of playing that. So I need to make sure that I do this. And then once I get to here, huh, then it's fine. Anyway, so I'm going to be really solidifying that. And then the other place I want to give myself clear memory slip spots. I didn't have trouble with the memory of this yesterday, but I was kind of worried that I would, and so I want to make sure that it's solid, is the winter wind, the sky. And so what I'm going to do, I've started doing it, but I haven't solidified it, is actually I'm going to play the left hand by itself, and every two bars or so, like every kind of reasonable starting place, I'm going to play the beginning of the right hand. And I'm going to have my right hand in my lap the rest of the time. Because what I want to do is be able to jump to the right hand correct place, even if I'm not starting from the correct place. So what that's going to sound like is going to be something like this. This is hard. I haven't set this yet. Ah. You'll notice, by the way, that the left hand on that page still sounds terrible. This is really hard. Ugh. I'm trying to pivot here. I don't remember if I talked about this last time. which works if I make sure that I keep my elbow free and really have this be a whole arm movement. But the second I try to reach with the pinky, I'm dead, which unfortunately happens. Ugh. Anyway, I won't make you listen to me do that, but I will be doing that a lot. Anyway, I just want to show you this. I want to actually go through this. So here's the next part. Left hand hard when the right hand is hard. I guess that's part of the point. But still, I really wish that he had just made one hand easy while the other hand is hard. Anyway, then I guess I have to switch plans here. Ugh, God. That I really need a lot of left hand work anyway. Oh my goodness. It's actually hard to not keep playing, but I think this is a good exercise. I'm not only going to play this, by the way, I also will practice all the little notes and stuff, but I think this is a good way to do it. Oh my goodness. There we go. Ah! Okay, I'm starting to scream more and more. I think I'm maybe not going to put you through this, actually. But I do want to report that even though when I'm practicing, I feel like, oh my God, how will I ever put anybody through hearing this? It's 8 pages long. There's 50,000 notes. It's just a big mess. In performance, this piece actually feels like it has direction and like the audience is listening, and even at the performance where the people walked out in the middle of the last one, it seems like it just feels fun to perform. I think that this one might end up being one of my favorite ones to perform, but first I have to really solidify it. Anyway, so I'm going to be giving a lot of extra love to the Winter Wind Etude and to Nouvelle Etude number 3 in the next week, but I'm also going to be playing through everything, and that's gonna be, I think, my main focus. So that's it. You can find out more about this project at playitagainswig.com. You can like my Facebook page for updates. You can follow me on Twitter at Jocelyn Swigger, and thank you so much for being my practice buddy.